Hi, my name is Bree, and I have the privilege of serving as Chief of Staff here at Transformation Church. At TC, our vision is to represent God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. And we just want to say thank you so much for tuning in from wherever you're watching from. If you haven't already, be sure to like and subscribe. We believe that God has a word just for you. So let's jump into today's message.
Well, welcome to week two of a series we're calling what? Kingdom. And we're talking about the kingdom of God. But the truth of the matter is we have to address the fact that most of us, especially the ones who grew up in church, if you knew, you almost got an advantage. Because I've grown up in church my whole life, and the truth of the matter is I've been kingdom, D-U-M-B. I've been ignorant of the truth of what the Word of God says about His kingdom. And I really do believe that I have been given a burden, a passion, and a mandate to preach this like it's the last thing I'll ever preach. And some of y'all are like, no, let's preach about crazy faith. I'm more passionate about this than crazy faith. No, what about relationship goals? I'm more passionate about this than relationship goals. No, but what about this and what about that? No. If you get the message of the kingdom, you get everything else. Somebody shout at me, kingdom.
Kingdom.
Only 40% of y'all said it. I said, shout at me, kingdom.
Kingdom.
The kingdom of God is the only message that Jesus preached. And that's why I have to teach us. So everybody turn on your thinking caps. Turn on your heart to be able to receive. Some of the stuff that I'm going to say is going to offend your religion. Some of it is going to challenge your tradition. And other parts of it is going to cause you to be burning with a desire to know more about God's kingdom. And last week, I took you to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, to see Jesus's inaugural address to humanity. This is what he said for his first message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Everybody say repent. That means change your mind. And he said, turn to God. Don't just turn to other things. Turn to God. And all I want you to do is, very simply, everybody say, see the kingdom. Most of us have never seen the kingdom in display. So we settle for church. We've never seen the kingdom, and we've never seen people living like the king. So we settle for pastors. We've never been able to see what it looks like to be in a community where everything we have, we know it's not ours. It's just managed by us. And we can be used as a conduit at any moment to be able to expand the kingdom. So we settle for clubs, groups, and gangs. Oh, and you know there's gangs in church. Praise team. Ushers, like there are, and God said there's a better way and a more complete understanding that I want all my people to have. And that's why I told you last week, this is not a sermon series that is supposed to be impressing. This is a sermon series that's supposed to leave an impression. And so every week, I need you to touch your mind. Everybody say, God, help me understand the kingdom. Just one more time with faith. God, help me understand the kingdom. The way we're going to understand the kingdom is by knowledge. And I know a lot of people in church like experiences and they don't like learning. And I have to say this because most of us, when we get out of formal education, we don't want to learn no more. Some of y'all still don't know any math past. Okay, y'all about to. If it don't have an addition or a subtraction sign, where's the iPhone? Division, when I left 11th grade, and what ends up happening is many times is we think that formal education and getting a degree is the degree that God is satisfied with us learning. But one of the things that many of us stop is pursuing what God's purpose is for our life and learning everything we can about the kingdom. That's why in this series, I have to challenge your, watch this, ideas. Because your ideas are more powerful than anything else you got. And if you don't get the right ideas, you will not understand why you do what you do. So last week, I told you about precepts, which mean pre-thoughts. And I was trying to let everybody know that everything you do comes from a place. Even if you don't know where it came from, the reason you bite your nails comes from a place. The reason why you act like a player comes from a place. The reason why you eat ice cream at 11 p.m. every night on the dot. There was some, everybody say idea. And that idea began to grow. I want you to understand this. One of my friends, he told me after Sunday, he said, man, when you did that ladder thing about precept and all that stuff, he said, that thing shook me. He said, I saw it as the ladder of light because at the top of it, it's knowledge, it's light, it's what you do. He said, but people need to see it. So I took his suggestion and I said, I'm gonna show the people real quick how you get to thinking and acting and living how you live. And this may be a cheat code for everybody to understand. Everything you do starts with the, everybody write down idea. And it's something that you go progressively. So where you start is at an idea. But it goes from the idea or the pre-thought, and it goes from a precept, that's the word that is used in the Bible, to a, everybody say concept. So precept, concept. And this is where most of us live our lives, at a concept of God. The big man upstairs. You know what I'm saying? I want to shout out, I want to shout out the Almighty. It's these things that we say that expose the concepts about God. But the problem is your concept has to turn into a what? Most of us don't have a conviction about God. This is why you can have a concept about God and never act on it. Many of us have a greater conviction over the coffee we drink in the morning. I only mess with Starbucks. You have a greater conviction than you do about your character. And because you don't have a conviction about certain things, it messes with your, watch this next one, your belief. Most of us are living, watch this, at the level of our belief. It's not that you can't do it. You don't believe God can do it through you. But you know where belief started? Nobody from my family's ever done this. And I applied, and see, they already had their mind made up about me. And you went into the interview with a pre-thought that you won't get the job. Now it becomes, your precept goes to a concept and it's now like, I'm just not hireable. And now it goes from the concept to a conviction. I guess I just won't work for anybody. And it goes from a conviction to a belief. I guess I'll be in poverty all my life. And then you have children, and guess what it goes to? It then turns into an ideology. Don't dream too big. Why you apply for that school? You know how much it costs to go there? Huh? No. You can never do it. You should just get a job where after 40 years, you can get a pen. They don't even give Rolexes no more. You get a pen. And that ideology now becomes philosophy. This is how the Johnsons live. This is how the McGregors live. And all of this started with an idea. What you know about God starts with your idea about God. If he's a big, bad God waiting to punish you, That's what you think the pre-thought was. He waiting to jack me up. Then it becomes a concept and you're scared to ever do anything in faith because you don't want to disappoint God. I'm talking real stuff that I know right now. And that thing becomes your conviction and it keeps you in prison when God's saying, try and I'll be there to catch you. Try and I'll walk with you every step of the way. He says stuff like this, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But your ideas will never be overridden by God's truth if you believe in your idea more than your identity in Christ. Can I give a real example? Okay, one more. I just want to show you don't jump from idea to ideology. You have to keep going up, and some of y'all climb this ladder every day, and you've landed on stuff that you don't want to live in. But I had an idea. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be a little player. Feels good at 14 to, you know, flirt. You see how quiet it just got? I mean, I'm just flirt. I'm just nice. I can have friends that are girls and them not be my girlfriends. Some of y'all are like, what's wrong with that? Watch, come on, stay with me. And it becomes my pre-thought before I meet any girl as a teenager. So my pre-thought, and I'm just going to talk to me about me, and you find yourself. And my pre-thought about it becomes, more my preset becomes the concept. Hey, bro, when we go in here, like, scout, give me a hoo-doo. If you see somebody that fits the description, I would have friends that believed in the same concept. You better evaluate the people you hang around because some of the concepts that you guys connected through are the same concepts that are keeping you from your purpose. And that concept turned into a what? Conviction. We're not going, who gonna be there? No, we're not going for that. No, if we going, okay. Conviction turns into a belief. And now it's a habit. Now, I'm talking to girls I don't even think is attractive. I don't even want to be with you. I just have built up this habit, and now it's my belief, and so it don't even feel right to have a relationship with somebody that is, like actually pure. Okay? There's some homeboys watching right now, and your mouth is getting ashy right now because I'm telling your business. You 36 years old doing the same thing you did at 16. And it's so much of your conviction, now it's your belief. And you got two babies by two different baby mamas, and your son is 7, and now you teaching them, hey, son, when little girl, how old are you? When I've seen this with my own eyes. Hey, when she come up there, bro, just kiss her. 7. Because it's so much of your belief that now you've made it the ideology. And now what does it become? And it's hard to stay balanced up here. If you build your life on the wrong ideas, it's hard to weather, watch this, storms. If a storm came through here, I am the most vulnerable person because I've built my life on an ideology that is not solid. And it sent the stage manager out here. It sent him out here trying to hold on to what I'm on right now that he knows is not stable. Some of y'all have people around you that you think are hating on you. They're just trying to hold your ladder right now because the ideas you have are not stable. What I'm trying to do is get you to come down off of some of the things that you've built your life on and get a, everybody say, new idea. And let me tell you what that new idea is. It's the idea of the kingdom. Now, I know that doesn't fully make sense to everybody right now, so I'm going to make it make sense at the end of this sermon. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Everybody look at it. Oh, my goodness. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, everybody say, get wisdom. That's applied knowledge. And we talked about light being knowledge last week and understanding that God wants us to have knowledge in the area that we are kingdom. But watch this. But with all your getting, get an understanding. Like the reason I'm gonna take this series slow is because I would hate for us to hear all of the cliches about the kingdom, read all the scriptures, and then leave here without an understanding. And this is so easy for us to do because we use things all the time. We don't understand how they work. How does the microwave work? Somebody say you push the button. The truth of the matter is that's the extent of our understanding. Some of us don't even push the button. You had a little 30-second thing. Some of y'all know what I'm saying. You don't even press no buttons. Like 30 seconds, 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 30 seconds. It's 10 minutes. You might as well. And what are you cooking for 10 minutes in the microwave? But that's our understanding. And that's why when you don't understand something, you don't know how to fix it when it's broken. The reason why people are deconstructing their faith is because they haven't understood the Bible. So when something happens to come and shake it, it's like, I don't even know how this works. I thought they said if I prayed hard enough. I thought they said if I gave. I thought they said if I served. And we have missed the understanding. And so when Jesus made the kingdom a priority, I have to tell you, church, this church is going to make the kingdom a priority and not just saying it, but understanding it, because I will not be kingdom. I will not live this life not understanding everything that God has provided for us. So watch this, write this point down. Understanding the kingdom makes you unstoppable. When you understand the kingdom, it makes you unstoppable. Okay, all right, let me just give you scripture. Matthew 13, 19. Do you know how unstoppable this message makes you? It makes your adversary called the devil so nervous that he's looking for everybody who just hears the message of the kingdom and he's trying to steal it from you immediately. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. When anyone, is that some people? I said, is it a few people? It says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. The reason you gotta stay locked into this series every single week is because it is so dangerous for you to have to the enemy that if you won't stay in it, learn it, try to ask questions, write things down, listen over again, if you won't be proactive in this, the enemy comes immediately and say, give me that. You can be saved and stupid, but don't learn about the kingdom. No. Serve. You're so insecure serving, but don't learn about the kingdom. If they learn about the kingdom, if they actually understand what Jesus did when he came back here, if they actually understand that their role and they understand things like being joint heirs with Christ, if they understand their royalty place, So I'm gonna keep them ignorant as long as I can. Give me that. This is why I'm telling everybody, protect the kingdom principles that are being taught. Protect the kingdom principles, write it down in a point, that are being planted in your heart. Practically, I want to talk about a lot of things, but the Holy Spirit told me, tell them to play defense. This entire series, you're going to have to play defense. You're going to have to be intentional because you're going to hear things in this atmosphere, and then the enemy is going to come with problems. immediately to make you forget about the things that you heard. And that's why some people right now is like, yeah, I'll catch y'all when y'all do the relationship series. Relationships get better when you understand the king. No. I'll check back in when you talk about finances because I'm trying to figure out how to stack my money. Your finances get better when you understand the king. Okay. So I needed to warn you because we're only in week two and I got a lot more weeks to go because we're going to, everybody say understand. But the enemy is coming for you. And I don't give the enemy credit. So I don't know how to say this. The enemy hasn't been bothering you because you ain't been doing nothing. He doesn't bother people that play on his team. So the opposition you're feeling is because you've taken an opposite side. The fact that you've been coming and you're trying to listen and now you're trying to seek and you're looking up scriptures for yourself and you're asking questions. Now you've switched jerseys. He ain't had to mess with you for 5 years because you've been wandering on his team. He'll let you come to church with no power. He'll let you be in that little dumb relationship. It's keeping you distracted. God is saying to you, be aware that there is opposition when you start to learn the kingdom. And I want to be 10 toes down with you and tell you the truth. Some of y'all gonna walk away because you have never faced any adversity. And I want to let everybody know in this Christian life, it's a part of it. I know everybody has sold you that when you come to Jesus, everything gets better and all your problems go away. That is a lie. And I know this is not Field Stadium preaching. It's the truth, though. Like, because many people are so disappointed because they're sold the wrong. Ain't nothing like being told what you getting and you don't get it. Like all the way down to like a shirt. Had anybody ordered a shirt from China, from one of them websites? Okay, so I'm not the only one. And on the picture, it looked like it fits perfectly. You in there measuring your arms to find out what 43 centimeters and I'm just, and you get it and it's built for a stuffed animal. I spent $62 for 42 garments and I was mad, completely frustrated. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Those sweaters. I wish you would have told me to get my size. It would have been $100 more. Because there's nothing like being disappointed when your expectation was one thing and you get the exact opposite. If you're going to invest in the kingdom of God, you're going to have ops. And this is my encouragement. Don't stop because you got ops. You got opposition? We ain't stopping. You got opponents? That won't cause me to stop. You got opinions? I won't stop because of opinions. Oppression, I won't stop because of oppression. Don't stop because you got ops. We have been so weak when it comes to our faith. Because at the moment we get any opposition, it's like, you know what? Not really worth it. The kingdom requires resilience. Okay, let me stop. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion. So he's not really a roaring lion. It's a placebo. Looking for someone to devour. This is the key. Stand firm. Not call down the authorities and don't destroy and destroy by the spirit of I felt it. I ain't moving. They left. I'm not moving. They talking about me. I ain't moving. Some of y'all are about to get your fight back. How was you so gangster when you wasn't with Jesus? And now you just become so weak. Oh my God. I bet you can talk about me, but I'ma stand firm. I bet you can lie on me, but I'ma stand firm. You can leave, but I'm gonna stand. I don't stop because of ops. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Enemy tries to attack. I'm not moving. I'm not going to stop coming to church because I had a bad week. I'm not going to stop loving people because somebody ain't loving me. I'm not going to hold bitterness because two people didn't forgive me for something they misunderstood. I'm going to stand firm. Where are the believers in the room and online that are making a decision? Oh, no, no, no. Where are the people that said, no matter what comes, I'm going to stand firm? I'm trying to prepare a holy rebellion. Remember, the series is called Kingdom, the rise of a holy rebellion. If we run to the front lines and we back up because we see opposition, this is how believers usually do. For G, God, I'm going after you. Don't need to do anything to me because I'm just going to leave. And I don't know who this is for, but God said, spiritually, hold the line. Don't stop praying for that son. Yeah, he's strung out on drugs right now, but stand firm. God says, don't give up on that husband. You need to stand firm. You might have just got the worst news of your life. But part of understanding what the kingdom is I don't get moved when something comes to oppose me. What I found out in my journey is the kingdom, this message is worth, watch this word, pursuing. And I know there's not a lot of things, especially in 2023, that we pursue no more. Pursuing is a lost art. I mean, we don't even go get our own food no more. We will pay $1.99 for a random person to drop off our food at our door. We don't pursue anything. Relationships, y'all don't know how to date. I slid into the DM, she ain't say nothing for 13 hours, so I was like, boo on her. What? But again, we have a generation of men that don't know how to pursue. You hear all the ladies, guys? They're like, ah! Oh my God, finally! But ladies, some of y'all need to pursue cooking. Oh, let me stop. I'm gonna need security. You can't cook. Somebody said, pass the mic. Golly. Let's be honest. Fellas, you want somebody with a bye, 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 and you sitting up there with a keg. You need to pursue the gym. All right. I'm sorry. But people so... Oh, well, there's one thing that people haven't stopped pursuing, them draws. But won't pursue the mind. I'm going to be real. And for everybody like, my kids, they already know. Any parent that has somebody over the age of 11 that is in this room, I need you to understand. And somebody said, younger than that. Yes, we do know that. But I'm just trying to give them. They're like, Timmy, I'm just trying to give you. It was fifth grade for me that nobody That love God told me what was going on. It was nasty little boys in the locker room. What I'm trying to say is if we don't pursue truth, we don't pursue openness, we don't pursue the kingdom, we get sold the counterfeit. Okay, let me just keep moving. The kingdom message is not just about pursuing. Watch this. The kingdom message is about, write this word down, priority. Oh, God, help me help them understand like you helped me understand, Holy Spirit. Like, help me explain it the way you showed me. Okay. Yeah. Write this down. The kingdom message is heaven's response to earthly mess. Please write this down. It's going to make sense. Oh, my God. When earth has a problem, God has one answer. Understand the kingdom. Okay. I'm going to take you to a scripture real quick that most of you have heard before, but you've never got the full context of, okay? Let me ask this question first. How many of y'all in your life are dealing with some type of mess right now? Okay, let me use another word. Some type of stress. Stress? Okay. Okay. If you're dealing with that in your life right now, there is an answer to the stress mess that you are going through right now. Everybody go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. I'm so excited to show you this because I've always read Matthew 6, 33, but I didn't read it in combination with what was before it to understand that it was the answer to man's question of how to deal with all this stress and mess. Watch this. If you were to ask God, how do I deal with this stress? Come help me. Therefore, I tell you, don't you worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Matter of fact, look at the birds. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. They don't got no investments. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Let me pause and just tell you, what you value most, God values you much more. Your greatest possession, God says, do you know how you love that thing? I love you so much more than that. And then it goes on to say, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your outfit? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor and spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor and Gucci and Versace was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothed the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You got such little faith. When I read that part right there, you got such little faith. It was like God asking, another translation says, why do you have such little faith? I've proven myself to you over and over and over and over again. Why do you not trust yet? What I found out is worry, everybody say worry. Is faith in reverse. Worry is faith in you worrying is your belief in something, just the wrong thing. Some of y'all are so convinced you're gonna get in a car accident when it rains. So you don't go places because your faith is more in the rain and those tires slipping than God protecting you. And that faith is strong because if it drizzles, you won't even go pick your kids up. No, let them stay there. We're just going to wait and see. I want you to know that worry is robbing you. And there's an answer for it. Watch this. Because worry weakens your faith. And so this is the thing that he says. Jesus is saying this now. Who's talking? Jesus. So don't worry. He's literally telling you so plain. So do not worry, saying, what should we eat? Or what shall we wear? Or who's going to marry me? Or where am I going to work? Or what's going to happen with the economy? Or don't worry about that stuff. For the pagans run after all these things. Another translation says, those thoughts dominate the mind of the unbeliever. When you worry about stuff that God promises, he said, you acting like the people who ain't never met me. How is there a difference? And I'm in your life and you screaming, if God be for me, who can be against me? Except I don't believe it, so I'm gonna worry. He said, you acting like somebody that don't even know me. So he says this, watch this. And your heavenly Father already knows what you need. He knows that you need all of these things. Now here's our anchor scripture. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all the other things you will be worrying about, I'll give them to you as well. Oh my, I pray everybody gets this revelation. You're worried about a relationship? God's answer is seek the kingdom. I give you the relationship, by the way. What about my purpose? Seek the kingdom. Because when you seek the kingdom, I'll show you your identity. I'll give you a purpose. I'll surround you with the right people, and I'll put you in the place that it can happen. Everybody say, seek the kingdom. Well, what about these kids? I didn't have a father. I don't know how to raise these kids. I don't know how to be a father. Seek the kingdom. The answer to all worry, the answer to all stress, Jesus says, I'm gonna give you one answer that fills in the blank for everything. Don't come to me talking about specifics and you haven't sought the kingdom. Uh-oh, this is why some of your prayer requests have not gotten answered. Because God said you skipped the step. I came boldly to your throne of grace. And I made my Christmas list of all the things I want you to do before the end, 2023. And he said, I see your list, but those are all things. And the church has done a bad job because we've told people to believe God for things instead of asking God to change your thinking. He said, the things get thrown in when you seek first the kingdom. That's all many of y'all needed today. The answer to whatever you're gonna find a problem with later today, and later this week, and later next week, all Jesus gonna say, I mean, imagine people coming to, like, what if we could sit down one-on-one with Jesus with our problem? And like you text him on a Wednesday and he got back to you on a Thursday and was like, Jesus, I've been struggling with a lot. Really been dealing with pornography. Really been dealing with my purpose. Really been dealing with poverty. Just wanted to know if you could tell me exactly what to do so I could follow your will for my life. Yeah, let me look in the love letter I wrote you. Matthew 6:33. This is your answer. Seek first the kingdom. No. I've heard that one before. Seen it on shirts, sang a couple songs about it. But was wondering if you could give me like a major key. You know, DJ Khaled, major key alert. If you could give me one of the major keys to being able to unlock all of this hidden potential. Yeah, my answer's not gonna change. Seek, not just seek it, but there has to be a priority to it. And most of us are frustrated because seeking first the kingdom seems fruitless. And because we've lost the passion for pursuing anything, why in the heck am I going to pursue something that I don't even understand why it could potentially help me? Well, when Jesus says, if you do this one thing, everything else is added. I just simplified your prayer life. Stop praying for everything and pray for a revelation of the kingdom. You missed it. When I wake up in the morning, Father, let me understand the kingdom. Father, I don't know how to be married to this woman, so give me kingdom principles, Father God, of how to love and honor and respect her. Father God, I need money. Give me kingdom ideas. Let me understand what you're trying to say through your word. And the crazy thing is, Jesus gave you the cheat code. I'm telling you, and you're going to go out of here and do the opposite. I don't know how plain it can be. Well, I do know that in this culture we live in, that first word is kind of elusive. Everybody say seek.
Seek.
I'm gonna camp out here just for a few minutes, because I think since children, we've lost our ability to seek. How many people used to play hide and seek? Yeah. I love hide and seek because it's one of the best broke games you could ever. I mean, you don't need nothing except somebody else to play with you. And all hide and seek requires is, watch this, desire. All hide and seek requires is desire. Matter of fact, I actually want to play hide and seek. Who want to play hide and seek with me real quick? Hold on, like, I need hands. Like, who would come up here and play hide and seek with me? Hold on. My sister in the yellow, is that yellow? Right there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come here. I want you to play hide and seek. Y'all give it up for my sister as she's coming up real quick. Get her to the stage quick, Joe. Now, what age did you stop playing hide and seek? Somebody said 8. What, 11? You never play hide and seek? Okay, she kept playing hide and seek. Anybody else, what age did you stop? How you doing, sister? What's your name?
Gracie?
Okay, Gracie. How old are you, Gracie?
10.
Okay, so do you play hide and seek? You like hide and seek. Do you play with people? Are you good at hide and seek? Okay, but you know how to play hide and seek, right? Okay, I lost a black envelope in this setup right here. Yes, and I'm gonna give you 30 seconds to find the envelope. Now, there's something valuable inside of the envelope. And if you find it, you can keep it, okay? So, on your mark, get set, go. Y'all cheer Gracie on real quick. You got 30 seconds. Y'all better help her. Did you find it, Gracie? Oh, lady! All right. Gracie, open it up. What's in there? It's $100. Gracie, you give it up. You found $100. I love you. Thank you. Go on out over there. Okay. Gracie started her seek very beautiful. And then she heard y'all screaming, and y'all didn't really see it, but she turned the box over and started moving, and she found what she was seeking. She could not seek from the position she started. The only thing she could do is look from here. And last week I told you the first thing about the kingdom is just to see the kingdom. But when you see the kingdom, the first thing Jesus says is now you have to seek the kingdom. And most of us are looking at the kingdom. Write this point down. Seeking is not looking. Okay. Most people are not seeking the kingdom. They're looking for it. I go to church and I stand in the back. Didn't see it. And Jesus said, you'll never find it. You can come to church every day, not just Sundays. Every day for the rest of your life. And if you're going to casually look, you will never find the value that God has put in the kingdom. And the reason I have to say this is because we have done a great job at teaching people how to receive salvation. Receiving salvation is a step that you can do from where you're at. It's a free gift of God. So to receive salvation, what we've been trying to get the whole church to do is receive Jesus. All you have to do is stand broken, hurting, on drugs, prostitute, bad person. You can stand where you're at and decide that Jesus Christ is Lord. Put your hands out and you can, everybody say, receive. After you receive salvation, most people become paralyzed in that position. You've been saved 19 years and still cuss everybody out? There's no fruit of the Spirit, and you think the idea is, well, I ain't going to hell. Great. Great, but you're living in it. He said that I have come that you might have life and life to the full. What you're living is not life to the full because you thought everything in God is received. And Jesus said salvation is received, but the kingdom is sought after. Okay. Write this down. Salvation is receiving. The kingdom is seeking. Nobody ever told me this. So I spent many years of my life like I'm just waiting on God. Whatever God wants to do next. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He will renew my strength. So wait, I say. Looking for you, God. Standing with my binoculars looking for a sign that God, and he said, you'll never find it because you've stopped pursuing. And today I'm asking you to turn back on your seek. Some of y'all think because you have a position, it's okay that other people think you have another level of access to God than you actually do. But he knows you stopped seeking 15 months ago. Yeah, you're on the platform. You're on the praise team. People know you for your YouTube inspirations. And Jesus looks at that and is like, that's trash. That's recycled from somebody who actually has a relationship with me. You stop seeking. You stopped seeking me so long ago that you don't even know what it feels like when I speak to you no more. You have been okay with people applauding and me with my hands folded. And I keep dropping you crumbs to let you know I still want to use you. I still want to do something special. I want to give you a vision. But you believe that if it's not a free gift, then you can't go after it. And God said, what I have for you in the kingdom has to be sought after. Ephesians 2:8, just so y'all got Bible for this. Salvation, it is a free gift from God. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you cannot take credit for it. It is a what? Gift. Somebody buys me a gift. I didn't have to work for that. I don't have to. All I have to do is receive it. But man, when you want to get the treasures of a kingdom, nobody puts treasures in a place you don't have to dig for them. The Bible says the understanding and the mysteries of the kingdom are treasure. And if you don't pick up a shovel and dig for this, you will be standing in a field of wealth, broke. And this is what our church is filled with every Sunday. God, we need you. And God's like, I need you to pick up the Bible. Not on Sunday. On Monday, pick up a book. Listen to things that have revelation in them. Shut off the foolishness. Oh, it's not worth it to you? Oh, you would rather be in a relationship that's going to leave you broken and battered? Oh, you don't want to listen when I give you prophetic words and I send signs and you watching something and you say, God, if you just let me see a crow, and then a crow comes across the street and you're like, today I'm going to give my life, but next day you hide in a month. Why do I keep sending signs to people who will close their eyes? He said, all right, my grace and mercy is new every morning. I'm going to try tomorrow. I'm gonna try again tomorrow. And we've been so used to ignoring God, so used to prioritizing everything, that everything that we actually need, he said it will be fine if we, everybody shout at me, seek. Okay. Put that ing up from kingdom. Yeah, just highlight the ing. When I saw this and we put that ing in there, when ing is put onto something, it makes it active. When I started thinking about the kingdom, you got to find your ing in 2023. You got to be, watch this, learning. That means you're going to have to be active in picking up something that you normally would not do to be able to find something out that you do not have currently. You're going to have to be, watch this, ing word, giving. And I'm not talking about just money, because that's why in church you'd be like, oh, there they go. They want my money. No, you need to be giving the wisdom you do have right now. You need to be giving the love that you do have right now. You need to be giving the time you do have right now. You need to get active in the kingdom. You need to watch this one. This is a big one. You need to be growing. And some of us haven't grown in a lot of years, at least spiritually. What are you saying, Michael? You need to get active and start. Everybody say seeking.
Seeking.
Sharing, serving, sowing, loving, forgiving. Submitting. Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. Jesus was submitted to earthly authority. Now, if anybody could have done they thug thizzle and not had anybody check on them. But we know that Jesus was submitted to earthly authority. How do we know? Because when he was 12 trying to jump it off early, he went to the synagogue and he didn't tell his mom or his daddy what he was doing. And Mary had to have a little black in her because she was like, Jesus, where is that boy? And the brothers was like, I don't even know. She finds Jesus in the temple. And this man tries to pump off on his godness and says, woman, don't you know I'm doing the work of my father? And something happened. The Bible is not clear. But we don't hear from Jesus for another 18 years. That was the last bit of his earthly ministry till he was 30. 29 birthday, woke up out of a coma. It was like. And do you know what I'd never seen before? Is that he still hadn't passed the test of earthly authority. Because his first miracle was done at the submission to his mother Mary. She said, turn this water into wine. He said, woman, my time has, never mind, mama, okay. And he said, turn up, everybody drink. Like this? But for him to walk in power, he had to learn that there was power in submitting, okay? Surrendering. And this is why, like, all I'm trying to do is let you know that when it comes to the kingdom, God's playing hide and seek. Why don't God just give it to us? Why don't he just show us? He said, no, I'ma hide it and you gotta seek it. Cause I have to delineate who really wants this and who just trying to be in the in crowd. Ugh. And some of y'all like, I don't play games. I'm grown, I ain't play no games since I was a teenager. Mark 10:15, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus talking. Anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child, will never enter it. He is talking to all the prideful people. If you don't come low and approach this like a child, what does a child do? Trust. You tell a child something, they just trust it. And God is saying right now, I need you to come out for all your titles and all your stuff, and I need you to trust me. When I say seek for it, I'm not playing you. I'm not telling you to go look for something that's not actually there. I'm not taking a break and saying, yeah, look at them dumb people out here seeking me and they'll never find something. He said, what I have hidden in my word and in your life is of such value that I just need you to seek after it. And the sad truth is the church has lost their seek. They've lost their seek so much that we'll watch a 3-hour Marvel movie and we won't stay in church for 3 hours. I heard somebody say, y'all church is just too long. You don't ever say that about a football game. And it's fine. Leave. Like all I'm saying is I'm going to do here what establishes the kingdom. And all the football teams you're going to watch today have a pre-show, a halftime performance, after commentary, and then on ESPN, they're going to run the same story for the next 48 hours, and you watching the same thing. And some of you are like, I don't do sports, but you do love in hip hop. And you will watch a whole marathon of it. Mike, are you judging us? No, it's just all about priorities. That won't help you lose your worry. And Jesus is telling you, what's the answer to everything? Everybody say, seek first. What? The kingdom. Okay. So the disciples was a little perplexed one day, and they was like, why don't you just tell everybody the secrets of the kingdom? Just, I hear you always talking these parables, these stories, parabole, these stories along with a truth, and you tell it to the crowds and the multitudes. Just tell them what the kingdom is. And this is Jesus' response. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge or the light of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Huh? Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. Now, the first time I read this, I was a little frustrated because I was like, Lord, how are you taking stuff from people that they didn't even know that they had the thing that they needed? And he said, Michael, I'm trying to show you that when you're going to get something of value, there has to be a sacrifice. Why would he give the disciples the keys and the mysteries to the kingdom? Because they left everything they had. These weren't just whack dudes that didn't know nothing. They had businesses. They had families. And at the moment they came in contact with the kingdom in person form, which is Jesus Christ, they said, I don't know fully what this all means, but I'm leaving all of this to follow him. He said, I'll give it to the people who got skin in the game. But for people who are coming just as fans, what little bit you think you got, you will be even more kingdom. And I said, okay, God, give me some more explanation on this. He said, Michael, just add the word interests in there. Because he said, if you're not interested in this, I ain't gonna give it to you. Look what it says. Whoever has, everybody say interest, will be given more. And they will have an abundance. But whoever does not have interest, even what they have will be taken from them. Watch this. What Jesus is saying is that in this is the kingdom is too costly to be treated common. The value you're going to get out of this is too costly for you to act like this ain't nothing. Has anybody ever had a kid who did not appreciate what you tried to give them? Now, parents, I need your help right now. You researched, You looked for the color. You argued with a woman to try to get the delivery on time. And then you presented with glee. Somebody mad in the front row. She said, and they can't even say nothing. And you presented with glee, and they was like, oh, I thought you was going to get the one with the X verse. There's something on the inside of a parent that'd be like, oh, really? Is that how you feel? No, stay there. Keep your little greedy butt right there. And you take the whole thing. I'm taking this right back to the store. Why? Why? I'm about to drop all of this. We made it. Why? Because there's something in you that says, I'm not going to give you what you don't want. And I think that's the message that Jesus is telling us with the kingdom. I ain't going to give you what you don't want. I got to make sure you want this. Because this is not cheap. I'm not going to give you what you don't want. I want to say it country. Put the title of my message up there. I ain't going to give you what you don't want. You don't want to seek this? You can't have it. And I'm telling you what nobody told me. I thought the kingdom was going to be a revelation that I got one day listening to a pastor. And what I'm telling you, all I'm doing today is trying to start your appetite. The secrets of this thing are going to require you to actually do something that you've never done, and that is seeking the kingdom. Okay. All right. This is hard for people because this is going to require an expectation of you. And we live in a world that does not want any expectation. We don't even want cell phone plans no more. Anything with a commitment? If I can't cut it off tomorrow? How many people have done the 7-day trials of stuff? You still on the plan. They got you. Paying $48 a month. For stuff you don't, because we don't want any commitment. And God said, you don't get the kingdom without commitment. Okay. I went to a conference this weekend and in Houston, and I preached about the kingdom. And man, something came out of me, the same thing that's coming out of me today. I'm getting just a stronger, every time I start preaching, I just get a gangster, that's a good word. Give me another one. help me. What is it? Confidence. There was okay. I'm getting another level of confidence. Because I'm not trying to convince nobody of what I've already found. I'm just trying to let you see that it's available to you. And as I began to talk to these people, the name of the conference was Cry Out. And I had a whole message prepared. And I was like, they was crying out for all kinds of stuff. God, cry out for my marriage, cry out for my stuff. And I got up there and it was kind of a little buzzkill, but it I was like, it would be a shame to spend your whole life crying out and you find out you cried out for the wrong thing. And that's what happened in the room. They was like, God dog it. And I said, what if I told you could cry out for one thing and get everything? Oh my God. What if I told you could cry out for the kingdom and everything else would be added? Stop crying out for the house. Cry out for the kingdom. Stop crying out for the relationship. Cry out for the kingdom. Stop crying out for the promotion. Cry out for the kingdom. Stop crying out for your family to be okay. that is promised with the King. And we out here seeking condiments of our faith. Don't seek condiments and miss the main course. Matthew 13:44. Let me just show you one last parable. Today, this is all we're doing. All I want you to do is get a value to seek the kingdom. Okay? Matthew 13:44. This is Jesus giving two parables back to back. He said, the kingdom of God is like, and then he's trying to tell you what it's like. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. You didn't get that one? Okay. Verse 45. Again, this is Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls, something of value. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. Why do it take all that to get the kingdom? Because it's worth all that. Like, if you just see a little bit of the kingdom, it's worth you taking everything you've put your life into and saying, never mind, I'm going to seek this for the rest of my life. The difference, don't miss this, the difference between seeing the kingdom and seeking the kingdom is sacrifice. This man sold everything he had to have an opportunity to find out if there was more where that came from. What's my sweetheart's name? What was your name again, sweetheart? Y'all remember Gracie? Gracie's Corner. Come up here. Gracie's Corner. Gracie's Corner. Let me show you a live parable. Gracie came up here and I told her that I needed her to seek for an envelope. Not look for it. Seek. When she found one black envelope, she stopped looking. Nobody told her to stop looking. We just celebrated, and she just threw the envelope up and was like, Willy Wonka, I found the ticket. Like, it was like, y'all. But Gracie, what if I told you there was so much more value that in that little setup, in that room, in that domain, than what you experienced? I'm gonna give you 30 more seconds to go over there and see if you can find something else. Go! Hold on, stop. Come here, Gracie. Hold on, come here. She kicked the pillow. Come here, Gracie. Gracie, what'd you find? Another envelope. Is there anything in there? Another $100, okay. Gracie, I feel like you need help seeking the kingdom. Can you pick somebody to help you? Who is that with you? Is that your mom? Your sister? Sister, could you come up here with her? Hey, sister, grab one other person to help you seek. Come on, yeah, just grab somebody. Come on. Y'all hurry. All right, now I'm gonna only give you 30 more seconds. She said, do I get to help? This is for you. So what I want you to do is act like it doesn't matter. How you doing? You good? What's your name?
I'm Caden.
Caden, and what's your name? Felicia, Caden, and Gracie. I'm going to give y'all 30 seconds to see if there's any more value in that domain. Ready? Go. There you go. Yeah, she found some. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, here we go. Y'all come here. What did we find? What did we find? We found some more? Did you get some? Okay, come on. Let me see. You got 100. Take that. Okay, hold on 1 second. You got 100. Take that. The crazy thing about this is they were still trying to be dignified in their pursuit. Do I have anybody that actually... No, I'm trying to figure out. It don't matter if there's any opposition. It doesn't matter if... Hey, my man right there. You. No. My man in the green right there. Come on up here real quick. All right, I want y'all to stand right here. Come on, y'all stand right here. That's your dad? I can't make this up. Come on, dad. Oh, I love this. What would happen if men of God begin to see? What would happen? The whole family would turn around. Hey, Dad, I'm gonna give you 30 seconds to seek like there's another $1,000 in here. Go. Ten, nine, eight, seven. 6, 5, 4, yup, 3, 2, one, and come over here, Dad. Did you find anything? Didn't find nothing. Is there anybody? I just feel like, come on, Sean. Okay. Now, I all I'm asking you to do, watch this. I don't need you to worry about anything being replaced. I don't need you to worry about how much it costs. I don't need you to worry about the opposition. I need you to get a pursuit. You got 30 seconds. Go. Turn it over. Push it under. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and. Now watch. Okay? So, hold on, listen what they're saying to me. Listen. They're saying, what are y'all saying to me?
We need another chance,
but the problem is there's an expiration date. The problem is there's time. We're not going to be able to extend our time and say, God, send me back so I can actually seek the kingdom. I need you to understand seeking is only available while you're here on earth. And I don't know who needs to hear this, but everything in your life is worth turning upside down to be able to seek the kingdom. What I'm talking about is moving walls. What I'm talking about is turning stuff over. What I'm talking about is rearranging what looks pretty and what has not served me anymore. What I'm talking about is finding, ripping, throwing things off the wall. It's only at a different perspective. The room doesn't look like, my life doesn't look like, the purpose doesn't look like it makes sense. But I found something. Could you pick up a key to the kingdom? Oh my, is there more attached to it? Y'all missed it. She picked up one key and there was another key. And every one of those things. Now come here. Uh-oh, now she wanna look. Come here. Everybody, come here. When a wall was moved, everybody got blessed. But the one who kept on seeking, it was the continue pool. It was one that was connected. Each of these got 100 in it. It's time for you to go on a vacation. Now, nobody told anybody to stop. But we assumed once we found something, we should stop seeking. Today, all I'm asking you to do is seek. It doesn't matter what the room looks like when you get done. You don't even know what that is no more. And that's what transformation looks like. Oh, some of y'all, there's a renovation about to start in your soul. There's a renovation that's about to start in your mind. Give God praise for a renovation in your life. Sean, come here. I just want you to stand right here. Just stand right here. And everybody, watch this. If I told her there was more back here, she said, "You better act up. You better act up." Okay. If I told her there was more back here, there is now a confidence. That she would have to go seek, but it would not be looking anymore. It would be seeking, but this is the thing. If she stayed right here, even after all she's gotten, she would be in proximity of the blessing. But watch this. You don't get the kingdom because of proximity. You get the kingdom because of pursuit. Come to church every Sunday. You still won't see the kingdom until you pursue it. I just wanted her to be close to where the blessings happen. She still won't get anything. But as soon as she takes a step towards it, that's where the blessing is. Thank you. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom and, there's something else. His righteousness. Right standing with God. Not perfect standing, right standing. Okay? And all these things will be given to you as well. What I found out in seeking the kingdom, there's no period to pursuit. There's no period. Y'all know like a sentence and then they put a period? When it comes to pursuing God, there's no period. You're 68 years old and you've been a pastor your whole life. Don't stop pursuing God. Well, I used to teach Sunday school and I've written worship songs for the whole world. Don't stop pursuing God. Well, I know all the Bible stories and da-da-da-da. Don't stop. Do not put a period, because in the kingdom there are only commas. He says, keep going. Comma. Keep going. Comma. Keep going. Because there's more treasure to be found. The kingdom is not about perfection. It's about progression. I will be a wiser man of God a year from now than I am today. not because I'm perfect. It's because I'm going to keep pursuing. Everybody stand up all over the world. All I wanted you to do the first week is see the kingdom. Everybody say, see the kingdom. Now I just need you to know the value of seeking the kingdom. Prophesy over you, this is going to be the greatest season of seeking the kingdom. I don't know who needs to receive this, but if you want to, lift your hands. Come on, in your home. Father, I thank you that there would be a seek on the inside of your people that change everything. God, I thank you that there would be a passion, a burden, that would allow us to knock down the walls of religion, knock down the walls of comparison, knock down the walls of permission. Let us seek you with reckless abandon. God, I thank you that people are going to fall in love with your word, that it will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God, I thank you for developing in Transformation Nation and Transformation Church a hunger that will never be quenched. God, I thank you that there's so much value in the principles of the kingdom. And let us keep looking. And as we look, we will find. Your word says, ask and it will be given. Knock and the door will be open. Today, God, we're coming to you repenting for being lazy in our faith. My bad. I'm sorry, I thought salvation was all you had for me. I thought favor was all you have. My bad, God. There's so many other things that come with the kingdom. And today I thank you that I will sacrifice to start seeking. Have your way in our lives, God. We give you glory, honor, and praise for it in Jesus' name. In that same heart posture, I didn't have time to go fully into it because I'm trying to honor the time, but it said seek first. Everybody say seek first. The kingdom. Next week, I'm going to teach you what the kingdom was. I only could stay on the first two words, seek first. But next week, you got to come because I'm going to teach you. I'm going to share the kingdom with you. And I'm telling you, it's going to blow your mind what God has shown me about this. Remember, do not stop coming because the enemy's coming to steal that word immediately. But some of y'all got revelation today that was like, the enemy ain't going to punk me another day. I'm going to seek the kingdom. But that scripture says, seek first the kingdom and righteousness. The beautiful thing about righteousness is you get that in relationship with Jesus Christ. So the seeking the kingdom, yeah, that's going to take your work. But righteousness takes you receiving. And if you want to be in right standing with the king of this kingdom, all you have to do is receive Jesus Christ. I don't care what you've done, how many times you've done it, who you've lied to, what you're planning to do. Today is the day of salvation. And Jesus wants to invite you into his kingdom. And he don't just want to have you at the low level being a servant. He wants to call you son, daughter, joint heir, friend. But all it takes is your faith. Today we need a new idea. And if that's you, no matter who you are, I want to give you the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Pastor Mike, why is that a big deal? There's so much I want to do in life. I'm telling you, this is the only way you actually get to do it without the sorrow. The Bible said the blessing of the Lord make it rich and addeth no sorrow. It don't matter what you stunting and how you doing and what you got. If all the sorrow comes along with it, today I want to offer you the thing that can change your life forever. It took me from being a liar, a manipulator, somebody who was addicted to pornography. I had a lot of bad things in my heart. And God said, with all of that, come here. And some of you are even thinking right now, well, let me clean up. Let me change. Let me do it. God said, if you give me your heart, I'll help you change your habits. Today is your day. I need Transformation Nation to begin to pray because there's people whose lives are in the balance. I don't care if you're 15, if you're 12, if you're 78. Today, God's saying, come home. Join this kingdom. On the count of three, if you're saying, Pastor, I want to be a part of that prayer. I just want you to slip your hand in the air. I know religion is like, tell us everything you did. Man, If people knew everything I did, they wouldn't even want to be around me. God says, when you come to me, I throw your sins as far as the east is from the west. And I choose not to remember them anymore. Any man, any woman that be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Behold, the old things have passed away. I have made all things new. Today is what you've been believing for. That's you. I want you to raise your hand. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, I'm so proud of you. But forget that. Your name is going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Light. Your eternity is secure. Three, shoot your hand up all over this building and at home. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. Oh, come on, y'all. Heaven is turning up. I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. I see you, my brother. I see you, my sister. At Transformation Church, we're a family. Somebody shout at me, family. Nobody prays alone. So would everybody just lift your hands, and we're going to pray this prayer for the benefit of those coming to Christ. Father, everybody say, Father, thank you for sending Jesus just for me. Today, I believe that you lived, you died, and you rose again with all power for my salvation. Today, I repent and I turn to you. Change my mind. Show me the kingdom. Transform me. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we turn up? Oh, I know there's over 50 people in the room and there's tons more online. Let's give God praise. The kingdom is expanding. If you just made that decision, I'm so proud of you. Sleep good tonight because your eternity is secure. Text SAVE to the number on the screen. We want to send you some information to help. This week, I need you to seek the kingdom. That means you got to give it time. If you don't give it time, you can't seek it. And next week, y'all, boop, boop, we going up levels. Father, I thank you for letting us make it through this 21 days of prayer and fasting. Thank you for the spiritual revelation that we have. Thank you for whatever sandwich they about to eat after this. Lord, don't give them the runs. God, I ask you to let us keep going from glory to glory and faith to faith. Bless our church as we continue to seek the kingdom. In Jesus' name, everybody say, we agree, we expect, amen. Give God one more shout of praise. I love you. Until next week, go out and live a transformed life.
Thank you so much for watching this message. We pray that it encouraged you. We also want to say thank you to our faithful partners and givers here at Transformation Church. It's because of your generosity that this vision has been made possible. If you'd like to partner with us in giving, you can text GIVE to 828282, or you can visit our website. Also, be sure to like, subscribe, and check out our other sermons, as well as our live Sunday experience that begins at 10:45 a.m. Central Standard Time. Now go out and live a transformed life.